Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Tim with Walker. Chris Woodward has joined us. Fred Jackson went away, and Chris took his place. Chris, good morning to you.
Thank you. Fred had a curling tournament he had to make.
Did he? That's a fist pump right there,
yeah.
Chris. That was pretty good.
I thought of that for the past solid hour.
Ray Pritchard's in Dallas joining us on the program today, and we were discussing curling last hour, which is a sport in the Winter Olympic Games, mm-hmm. which mesmerizes Ray.
It does. It does. I don't under the more I watch it, the less I look. Ski jumping, right? We all get that. You get on a ski, and you jump off a ramp, and you hope to land, right? I get that. Curling is mystifying, which is makes for fun TV.
Hey, have they done that? I'm getting hit and miss on the Olympics at night. So have they done the down, not the downhill skiing, the skiing when they take off like an eagle. Or like a bird, and they fly down the mountain. Have they
ski
done
jumping?
That yet?
Yes, they've mm-hmm. been doing that. I watched some the other night.
Oh, okay. Yep. That's one of those sports you look at and you go, who was the first person that tried this?
That's right. May he rest in peace.
Yeah.
Who was the first person who said, you know, maybe it was Hans. Hey, Hans, come over here. See this mountain right here? I'm fixing to go off of it and fly down it. You want to watch this?
Yep.
So, anyway.
They made a movie about that a couple of years ago. Eddie the Eagle. It was about a British guy that couldn't make it in other sports, and so we tried it.
He was in the Vancouver Olympics. He was the star of the Olympics. But anyway, I enjoy watching that.
How much
sport.
Would we have to pay you, Tim, to get you up on top of one of those steep mountains, put you on skis
and
come
man.
Down? Is there enough money?
You know, I don't know. I'm 54, and I don't even think I could enjoy that much money the rest of my life.
That's right.
Maybe when I was 34, I'd have done it. I tell you what, I went snow skiing one time. Mm-hmm. I've been snow skiing 3 times in Colorado. Beautiful. I loved it. This was 20 years ago. Loved it. It's so much fun. I probably couldn't do it just because I'd break my leg or something, but I may try it again. But I had a friend, and I put that word in quotations, who we went with. Mm-hmm. We went with like 2 other couples, and this friend, who was he was a very good skier, and he took me up. See, they got levels of ski. For those who don't know, you got your green slopes, which are your beginners. You got your blue slopes. Best I remember now. Mm-hmm. Blue is intermediate, and black is for expert skiers, right? So day one, I'd done like one green, and I get on the ski lift with him, and I said, where are we going now? Oh, we're going to a little blue. It's an easy blue, though. It's like my third hour on the – and I got up there, Ray. An easy blue. Yeah, an easy blue for him. I got up there, and when you peer down at what you're –
yeah.
You know, and I don't think you could get on the ski lift to go down. I don't think they allow you to do that. Best I remember,
there's only one way down the only one way down the mountain.
Yeah. So I mean, it was terrifying.
Yeah.
Literally terrifying. So, needless to say, I wore a hole in my britches.
Right. There will be so there will be no TW skiing tours with Stephen McDowell.
No, that's a long answer to say no. Ray, I won't be doing the ski jump in the Olympics. All right, so Walker, tell us about mm-hmm. where we're available now.
Yes, we are on Facebook. Today's Issues Facebook page. You can watch the show there each weekday on the live stream, and also we are now on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and type in Today's Issues Live, you can also watch the show there. So maybe you don't have a Facebook account, you can watch us on YouTube. One more thing I want to mention before we move on to the news is our partnership with India Partners. India Partners, many of you have heard us talk about them the past week, and they provide safe houses in India for children escaping the red light districts of Mumbai, India. The red light districts is where a lot of prostitution and drugs, and it's just a very, very bad situation for our children. But India Partners provides these safe houses where children receive education. They receive, of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they provide food and shelter and clothing, etc. And so for a very minimal cost, your support can provide a day of safety for $7. For just over $7, you can provide a day of safety for a child in need. And, of course, $100 would provide about 2 weeks of safety and so on. So if you would like to partner with India Partners and American Family Radio, here's how you can do so. First, you can visit AFR.net, AFR.net, or you can call 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Just one more question about skiing. You've been skiing, Ray?
Long time ago,
okay.
Maybe in the last century. I mean, that's how long since I've been snow skiing, yeah.
It's probably tougher on guys your size. You're 6'4", 6'5", aren't you?
Yeah, and I'm 65 years old, so.
Yeah.
Curling, really, is just more. It's just
gotcha.
More, yeah.
Curling or shuffleboard?
That's right.
Shuffleboard in the summer
and
or on the cruise ship?
In the winter.
Is curling the winter equivalent of shuffleboard?
There's more talent, more skill involved in curling that we realize, but that's a topic for another day. Go ahead, Chris. What's in the news?
A lot is in the news. It's hard to pick what should be the top story, but one of the top stories at the moment on Fox News happens to be this headline: Justice for Gamel Moore. Family wants answers and escorts death at Democrat donor's home. It begins by saying family and friends of a male escort found dead in a West Hollywood home of a high-powered Democratic Party donor last year continue to press for answers. The case really hasn't gotten much national media spotlight, but 26-year-old Moore was discovered by police on July 27th inside the apartment of 63-year-old Ed Buck. Buck is identified as a well-known Democratic Party contributor and has given more than $500,000 to an array of Democrats, including Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, the mayor of Los Angeles, the district attorney of Los Angeles County, in a variety of state and local organizations in California. This seems to be like a story based on the fact that this person has donated a lot of money to people, that it would be a national news story. My question to you guys is, why hasn't the national media spotlight, other than Fox News, picked up on it?
Well, it is scandalous. Of course, in this in the world we live in, every day there's something scandalous in the news. This seems like to me he's the West Coast version of Harvey Weinstein in terms of the money that he raised for the Democrats. Maybe not quite as much. I don't know exactly how much it was. I'm looking at $500,000 is what's being reported on this Fox News website. But the fella has this potentially reflects poorly on Hillary Clinton, because here's a guy who raised a lot of money for her and the Democrats, and he's 60-something-year-old man.
63.
A 20-year-old? Mm-hmm. A 20-year-old dies in his home who's a male prostitute, basically? Mm. Is that right?
Yes.
From drug overdose? Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
And people in his family's wanting answers.
Right.
Correct.
The family of the escort is wanting answers. And the reason it's not getting a lot of national publicity and a lot of national news attention on CNN, for example, is because they don't want to make the Democrats look bad.
Sure. If it was a Republican senator, we'll say from Texas or Alabama, Florida, it would be everywhere.
All over the news. But anyway, we'll see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm.
Next story.
One of the other stories, are you guys familiar with Blue Apron and some of the home delivery services now where people can order food and they send it to you in a big box and you can make your own dinner together, things like that? The White House is looking to kind of reform the food stamp program and do something they would call Blue Apron style. Blue Apron is one of the companies that's behind this home delivery service. The idea is to replace nearly half of poor Americans' monthly cash benefits with a box of food. The White House seems to think this would save money and provide people nutritious food versus some of the things that you might be able to buy with food stamps today, depending on where you live. The so-called USDA America's Harvest box would contain items such as shelf-stable milk, juice, grains, cereals, pasta, peanut butter, beans, canned meat, poultry, or fish, and canned fruits and vegetables. But people, as you might expect, are not happy with this. So-called consumer advocates and food retailers are concerned, saying it might take away business. It's taking away people's rights to get food they want. And while the USDA Agriculture Secretary, Sonny Perdue, says, these foods would be provided by American farmers and producers. Someone identified as Stacy Dean at the Liberal Center on Public and Policy Priorities calls it a risky scheme that threatens families' ability to put food on the table. But get this, guys. This thing would save, I've got it written somewhere here, it would save $130 billion over 10 years.
Wow.
And people are upset about it.
Now, okay, explain to me. I understand the food stamp program, right? The government sends people these food stamps. They go to the grocery store, and they exchange these stamps for food.
Right.
Okay. So what the administration, this is the White House?
Yeah. They want to take away the stamps, and sometimes now it's in a card, kind of like a debit card. Mm-hmm. They want to replace that format with just sending you the food. So you wouldn't even have to leave your house.
Why wouldn't you
to
be
go
for
buy
that?
The food?
Well, why couldn't you offer both? The food stamps program, maybe that's antiquated terminology. Are you talking about like the EBT card?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same thing?
Yes.
Right.
So similar situation.
It's not a literal stamp anymore. It's a card.
Right.
Yeah,
it turned a debit card. It turned into an electronic process in recent years to try to crack down on fraud and things like that, maybe getting lost in the mail.
So they're just the White House is thinking outside the box here, I think. They're
exactly.
Hey, why wouldn't we allow people to use these cards to have food sent to their home, right?
Right. And I think, most people, regardless of political affiliation, would agree that $130 billion over 10 years is something we should be
doing when we don't have money.
Well, you know, people want to, they're going to say, what if we don't like the foods in the box? We want to, I mean, people want choice, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that, I mean, everybody wants to do their own thing. So people would rather get these EBT cards. I understand that part of it. So maybe, Tim, you suggested earlier, why couldn't you do both?
Do both. Give people the option. Let them either order online or order go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Like they normally
do. Here's my experience.
Pretty creative idea.
It is a very creative idea. Here's my experience with the term or the phrase beggars can't be choosers, which we've all heard.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into a fella. I was getting gas here locally, and he came up, drove up, stopped, and started talking to me. And he needed help. He was a diabetic, I believe, and he needed food. He needed something to eat, and he didn't have the money. That's what he said. So I said, "Sure, let me finish getting gas, and we'll go to a local fast food restaurant, and I'll get you something to eat." Well, he says, "Okay, good." So there was a local chicken fast food restaurant, Chick-fil-A, just 100 yards away. So I said, I'll just leave my truck here at the gas station. We'll walk over here to Chick-fil-A, and I'll get you some food. But he says, "Well, no, I prefer hamburgers. I prefer hamburgers." He said, "Just give me a little cash, and I'll go get me a hamburger."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, no, I'm right here. And if you're hungry, like you say you are, then we'll go right here and a chicken sandwich will suffice, you know." And he ended up going with me and getting a chicken sandwich, so I believe he was honest. But my point is that if the government is going to assist people who are in poverty, which I think is okay, then they can't be picky about what assistance they get and what food they get. I think they need to. If this is what saves American taxpayers money but still helps people in need, then I don't think they should have a say.
And it saves you a trip to the store. It's
right.
You don't even have to leave.
Right.
So,
yeah, interesting. Well, we'll see where that goes.
All right. One of the things I wanted to bring up, we talked about the Olympics. Not to get back on some of the sports we find humorous, but there are some issues in the news involving the U.S. women's hockey goalies. According to USA Today, the sports section, some people with the International Olympic Committee have reached out to the U.S. women's hockey team because these people take exception to the fact that the goalie's mask has the Statue of Liberty on it. And according to these people with the IOC, it might be too political for
what's
these Olympics.
What's the IOC?
The International Olympic Committee. They seem to think that the image of the Statue of Liberty is perhaps too political for these Olympics and the political climate that we live in and the walk on eggshells mindset many countries
That's
unfortunately
ridiculous.
Have.
Every country has its colors and has its flag as they go marching out to start the – everything's That's political too.
Well, the interesting thing with USA Today, kudos to one of their sports writers. He kind of wrote an op-ed in response to this. He mentions that the men's hockey team in recent years has worn more political stuff on their helmets, and no one complained, according to USA Today. And then, ironically, the man who made the Statue of Liberty back in the 1800s, USA Today says he went out of his way not to make it political. There's reasons why it has, you know, seven little things on the hat that she wears. It
represents crown?
It represent, yeah, the crown. Thank you. It represents, you know, the continents and things like that. I mean, they went out. He went out of his way not to make it political, and here we are, 100 and how many ever years later, and people are complaining about it.
They need to move on to the next hockey match and forget this. So she's got a. They going to make her take the Statue of Liberty
we
off?
We shall see. It says the situation should be resolved before USA's Tuesday game against Russia, which comes on at 7:10. Actually, it already aired this morning. It may have changed. I'm not sure.
Okay. Anyway, we'll see what happens with that.
All right.
Go ahead.
Sticking with sports, there's an Ohio high school that has had prayer at sporting events. And the Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation,
I know where this is going,
sent him a letter saying you can't do this because separation of church and state and all that jazz. Members of the Ohio community, this is West Branch High School in Beloit, if I'm saying that correctly, members of the Ohio community are fighting back after the FFR have sent their letter. They've made T-shirts, Prayer Matters. They're showing up in droves at the sporting events. We actually have some audio here. It's from a Fox News story. It's clip 4, and it begins with sound from the superintendent who bought a T-shirt from the group trying to increase the prayer, promote prayer.
It's an outside organization that has probably never been here.
Many families say they hope a fair compromise can be reached.
And if there's 99 people that are not offended and one person is, it's sad that we have to take it away from the 99 to please the one.
But the Freedom From Religion Foundation says majority does not rule when it comes to the Constitution.
It doesn't matter if everybody in the school were Christian. They still could not impose a Christian prayer because our schools are public and secular.
Pastor Reiser says he's optimistic of the reaction from families.
We're having more conversations about prayer and about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, than we've ever had before.
Now, the gentleman there at the end of that story is that was identified as a pastor. He's also one of the coaches of the basketball team, which is why you heard basketball sounds in the background there. They shot the story at one of the recent basketball games at this high school.
Now, this is West Branch High School in Ohio. Mm-hmm. We're trying to find the town.
It's Beloit, I believe.
Beloit, Ohio. And, well, this is unusual. Usually the school superintendents usually fold pretty quick when the Freedom From Religion people write a letter. And in this case, the superintendent named Timothy Saxton says, quote, "We are a deep-rooted Christian and faith-based community," end quote. And he's not going to give in, I guess, without a fight against a, quote, outside organization. You know, usually nobody complains when these things take place, when these prayers take place. You know, prayers before football games, in particular, went on in America for,
decades.
Decades, right, Ray?
Yeah, right, right. It was only in recent years that this group and others have made such a fuss. And, you know, there's kind of this good news, bad news kind of situation. The bad news is it only takes one person complaining, and then somebody writes a letter, and then the administration usually folds, right? It just folds like a cheap suit.
Yeah.
But in this case, the good news is the people of the community rallied, and the superintendent had some courage, and they're not backing down. So. Yeah. Good for them.
And First Liberty is defending them. Mm-hmm. And First Liberty are friends of ours.
Sure.
They're based
out of Plano. As Todd Snarn said in the 2016 Values Voter Summit, Kelly Shackelford is all over these cases like a pit bull to a pork chop. I have the CD saved in my – I have the speech saved on CD.
You know, we also have something called freedom of religion, folks. That's often lost. It's called the First Amendment. So. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it's a balancing act sometimes when you're talking about things like prayer and First Amendment rights, freedom of religion. But we do have freedom of religion, and that's often left out of the equation. All you hear is freedom from religion, like this organization in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
which, you know, doesn't acknowledge our rich Christian and spiritual heritage in this country, which dates back to our founding.
Right.
So, anyway, we got time for one more story for you, Chris.
We do. Probably. We do. In the also in the news today, it's some information revolving regarding gun sales. One of the stories we heard a lot about during the Obama administration was that gun sales were going up. Businesses that sold guns were seeing more people. Guns were being sold a lot more during the Obama administration, due in part to people having concerns that maybe the Obama administration was going to do away with guns or try to change the Second Amendment. CNN points out that one of the great ironies of the Trump presidency has been that gun sales have slumped significantly since President Trump took office. Trump is a vocal supporter of the Second Amendment. The sales slump, combined with legal woes, have caused gun maker Remington to file for bankruptcy. Remington, of course, is one of the oldest gun companies in the world. Remington plans to file for Chapter 11. Remington does plan to stay in business while it restructures its debt. But come to find out, guys, it's not just Remington. Back in December, there were stories about Smith & Wesson. Smith & Wesson owners' profits plunged 90% year over year. CNN seems to think that this is, you know, a jab at a president who
CNN should be
the Second
happy.
Amendment. Yeah, I think what it is, and I did not see this in any of the reporting that CNN did, I think it's probably because people are less concerned about the Second Amendment right now under President Trump.
Well, how many
Trump.
Guns can you buy, for That's goodness true. Sakes? I mean, during the Obama administration, it was record sales. I mean, people didn't need any more guns when president. I do think a lot of it was stoked by fears that the Obama administration was trying to, take away guns, attack the Second Amendment. For example, but like I'm saying, you may have saturated the market, and these companies probably needed to factor that in.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ray. You wanted to comment on that?
Well, just to say, it's not surprising that since Mr. Trump has been in office, gun sales have gone down. People felt the need to protect themselves the last 8 years, right? They felt their liberties were under attack. And now we see the difference. There's somebody in the White House who's willing to stand up in favor of the Second Amendment. So it's not surprising. I certainly hope these gun companies can, as you said, Chris, restructure their debt and get back healthy, because that's an important part of the American economy.
Yeah, Lord willing, I'll be talking with one of the executives at the National Shooting Sports Foundation later today about the, you know, the state of the gun industry to kind of figure out what exactly is going on here, what, if anything, we should know or be concerned about.
The what foundation?
The National Shooting Sports Foundation. It's kind of the industry group. People often think of the NRA or the spokesman for the gun industry, but NSSF.
What is it you do, Walker?
I, of course, hunt. I hunt wildlife, which obviously involves a gun, and then on occasion I shoot as kind of a hobby. I shoot my pistol.
Yeah, but I've had people brag that you're a marksman.
Well,
so I think you're being a little humble here.
Yeah, I killed or harvested, to be politically correct, I harvested about, I think, 4 to 5 deer this year.
No, nice. I'm talking about at the shooting range.
Range? Yeah.
Yeah, where you...
I'm decent.
Yeah.
He's a marksman.
I'm pretty comfortable with my firearm.
I just had people tell me, hey, Walker can get a target from 300 yards.
You should hear what they say about Riley.
Riley, my daughter?
Yeah.
She does it. She does that too.
I just thought it would be a good.
Well, I just wish I could tee off 300 yards.
That's right.
Yeah. That would make me happy, but that ain't going to happen. All right, Ray, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Tim.
Walker and Chris and Brent are our crack reporter.
Yes.
Our investigator.
I learned something.
He's not on crack. He's just a crack investigator. All right, folks, so we will see you back here tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Dr. Alistair Begg is straight ahead with his Bible teaching program, and then Janet Mefford, and On With Your Day here on American Family Radio. Take care, everybody.